is with my friend Andy Mitchell. We actually met just through Instagram. So he messaged me, I can't remember exactly when, years ago, on my Instagram stories. And we just got chatting about training. Similar values on training and life. So yeah, we'll just be chatting on Instagram every now and then. And we did actually meet up. I can't remember exactly. I think we talked about it in the podcast. I think it was 2 years ago. We actually met up in person and just trained together in the park and just got food or whatever. So we've actually just met once before, before we actually did the podcast here. And yeah, we have a good chat across body, mindset, life, just across different variety of topics, and got to know Andy a good bit more and find out things about him, yeah, that I didn't know already. So that's the goal with the podcast, is I'm not going to like ask what I think people want me to ask or like what the industry asks. Like, I don't care about that. Like, I'm really just treating this podcast as my continued self-development, because over the last like 7 years, I've studied people across all, you know, like physical freedom, mental freedom, lifestyle design, all the things that I teach. I just love studying people and learning from them, because with the internet, you can find information on everyone, you know, that's relatively famous. Like, they have loads of YouTube videos and podcasts and different things. So I just love, I go through periods of like 3 or 4 months kind of obsessed with one person, try to learn all their insights and wisdom, move on to the next. And that's what I'm going to do with the podcast, is just get people on that I'm interested in, want to learn more about, and then chat to them and ask questions I want to know about them. And that's it, you know. And it kind of goes back to like my whole way of doing content in general. Like, even on Instagram, I do things a bit differently, and the amount of times people are like, you shouldn't do it that way, you know, your stories are too long, you write too much, and all this kind of stuff. Again, it depends on the end goal. What's the end goal for you? Is the end goal make the most money or appeal to the masses? Or like, I don't give a shit about that. You know, it's be true to my end goal, be true to myself. It is my GPS and my compass for all of the content. So be true to myself, do things in my own way. Yeah, take a little bit of advice on different things, of course, but I'm not going to change the way that I want to do things. So it's going to be same here with the podcast. It's not try and get the most people to watch or whatever. Do my own thing. I want to enjoy this. I want to learn from the people that I'm getting on. And then just like with my Instagram content, people like me who like what I'm doing here, they're the ones that are going to watch it. So yeah, I'm excited. Like, I love podcasts. I watch them all the time, or listen to them. Depends if it's on YouTube or when I'm out for walks. And yeah, just want to start putting out more content through the podcast as well, on top of the other things. And yeah, be a bit more lighthearted as well, a bit more fun. I know a lot of the videos on YouTube are pretty serious about certain topics, because look, I'm very passionate about them, want people to learn. But the podcast, yeah, a bit more laid back and just having chats with people, having fun, and getting some insights and wisdom from them too. Okay, so we'll leave it there. Here's the chat with Andy Mitchell.
I don't follow anyone closely, and I just have a few, like, I've one David Goggins podcast with Joe Rogan from years ago that I remember. It's one with Chris Summer, the gymnastics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a 4-hour podcast with that guy, Tim Ferriss. Mm. So I just have these 5 or 6 podcasts that I go back to every now and again, because they just have some really great information.
Yeah. You know? Chris Summer, he's the guy who popularized the Jefferson Curl, I think.
Probably, yeah. I mean, from the gymnastic movement.
He said bodyweight Jefferson curl is the goal.
Yeah, bodyweight Jefferson curl.
And when I've clients do them, when they're like, should I go to like 2.5 kg or 5? I'm like, bodyweight.
I'm about 35 kilos away.
Well, what's the most you've ever done on that?
60, only last week.
60?
So chip.
Yeah. Sweet. But is that the first time you've ever got to it?
Yeah, first time I tried, but I mean, you know, small gains kind of thing. Mm. Just transfer of strength.
Yeah.
So doing the Zurchers.
Oh, yeah.
Zercher deadlift. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be doing Jeff's curl is easy once you're doing Zercher deadlift.
How long are you doing that? I seen yesterday, actually. You put up another PB on the Zercher.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
What was it?
120. So, I mean, to be honest, I was feeling pretty tired that day, but the way everything's been going, you just build this confidence when you're consistent with the training. You kind of, you know, you can go for it. You know, when you've been doing for weeks on end, and you've been 3 or 4, you know, you specialise in the lift. Like, I mean, I'm specialising in the barbell overhead press at the moment, and it's 3 times a week, and you pick one day where you're going to try PB, and everything else is secondary.
Yeah.
So I haven't bench pressed in 2 months now. I haven't done any bench pressing. Well, I've done a bit of push-ups and stuff, But in my first part of the book, it was 4 days a week just bench press, and everything else was supporting that.
Mm.
And then, because of the bench press, my shoulder press really good. So there's a transfer of strength.
Yeah.
You know?
That was it. And what did you bench? You benched 150 or something?
150. So, 4 years ago, it was 147.5. Mm. I just thought, if I'm going to book, there's a few things. Choose one exercise. Choose an exercise that you really enjoy, that you're probably quite good at, and that you can stay consistent with. And that was bench press, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, if you get neurotic about it, let's say on Instagram or online, people are like, bench press isn't optimal for blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. You just have to cut that stuff out and go, you know, I like this move. It's easy to get better at it. You just keep going at it. And I've always been good at it. And it's going to put on a lot of mass on my body, you know? So I kind of like, I'll be doing the bench press or an error in a session, and that'll be 3 or 4 times a week.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because I think back in the gym, that was probably stuff I was shit at.
Mm.
And I actually don't bench.
Right.
I do like weighted ring push-ups.
Yeah.
And because I remember back when I got my first strength coach, he was like, going by the 4 movements. Horizontal push, vertical push, or whatever. And then he's like, do you want more gymnastics? Do you want more weight? Gymnastics. One action up stuff sounds cool. But then I was like, it's funny, part of me was like, I was shit at that in college.
Yeah.
They were like bigger than me. And I was, you know, so I was like, I wonder, what do you think? Like, so on the weighted rings, have you ever done the weighted rings?
Yeah, push-up? I've done rings, everything, weighted rings.
How, but again, I suppose it's different. Like, I can do sets of 6 or something with 35 kg.
Yeah.
What do you think I'll be in the bench? I must actually test this. I could do a bench at home even. Like, I benched maybe 70 or 80.
Yeah. I'd say you'd bench more than that now, if you're doing what you're doing in the rings. Because I didn't bench for 3 years. I was just doing ring dips.
Yeah.
Body weight. And then went back to bench and I did 120. And like, I didn't think I could do that. But I guess weighted rings, there's a lot more stability there. You know, it's transfer of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. So.
Yeah. Let's actually try that now before I go. Cause actually, you know, going to home next weekend.
Yeah.
For a little family dinner.
Like, yeah. Give me some.
Give me a go. Sniff it off. I'll end up calling the ambulance or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't go well with me. But that's what.
Just drink some Muji.
You'd be going. Muji there.
Yeah.
That's what's got me through so far.
Yeah.
Speaking
of Muji, part of this, I'm just coming out random like, but eating during my training sessions.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you about that because I've never seen anyone do it, but I knew you were on a bulk. But like, I just feel a bit sick. But obviously,
if you're lifting heavy, if you're doing a HIIT session, if you're doing circuit training and you're eating, you're gonna get sick.
Yeah.
But if you're taking sometimes 5 minutes in between lifts,
yeah,
you're just sitting there like, oh, that was tough. I'm gonna go at it again, and you just eat a bite of peanut butter and honey bread. You know, you get the calories in. Like, I'd finish a training session, surplus calories, where most of the time the attitude is like, oh, I burned so many calories in that session. Well, people want to get big or gain muscle, but they're, you know, they're coming out of sessions like down calories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's for performance, but also the bulk. Like, let's say, if you weren't bulking, you wouldn't eat in during sessions, would you? Just for performance?
No, I probably wouldn't eat during session if it wasn't for bulk.
Okay, so
yeah. It's just to bulking, see how much muscle I can put on.
Yeah.
Like, aggressively go at it. Like, you know, I had classic, you know, I had 6-pack, but I'm totally willing to lose that in order to put on as much size and strength as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how far are you going to take it then? So you're on the bulk now. You're what, 96?
96. I'm trying to get
100.
If I get to 100, I'll stop. I know. When I get to 100, I'll stop.
Yeah.
But I've got another 5 or 6 weeks. That's not a fixed goal.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 or 6. So I'm going to aggressively go at it now. I need to. Once you cover your nutrition, your protein, and then micronutrients, vitamins, all that kind of stuff, I just fill the rest up with kind of, not junk food, not total shit, but like, high calorie stuff that maybe isn't as nutritious. And it's just easier to get in. You know, like, I mean, I drink orange juice now. I drink lots of pints of milk, you know, instead of water. It's just calories.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never, I kind of thought about, like, let's say once I get to 1 inch chin up, I have to come up with a new goal.
Yeah.
I probably won't do it then, but I was like, some stage I definitely will just go on bulk.
Yeah.
might even fucking pay you or someone else, and just to see, because I was 72 like all my life now, just for the one I'm training, whatever else, I'm 70, like 7, so I guess what, it's 5 kg,
yeah.
Just over years, whatever, more consistent training, eat a little bit more, but yeah, what do you think I'd get you then? You go into 80s definitely,
yeah, yeah.
Up into 80s, 85.
Well, aim for 10 kilos.
10 kilos,
yeah. Aim for 10.
Jesus. Someday, I might
go because for that. Aim and go out aggressively, and you'll, at the start, you'll put on some weight because, you know, you're not used to eating this much, and you'll put a lot on. And thing is, when you eat a lot of food, your recovery speeds up, you sleep better, you can train more. And that's why I was eating more, so I could train more. So I'm trying to train 7 days a week. It doesn't always happen. And sometimes I'm training twice a day. You know, so it could be 7 to 9 times that I train in a week. And I'm really gas. So now I'm getting quite tired. But you try all these little things, like all that garlic, raw onion. Timing coffee, yeah. You know, making sure you're not drinking too late so you can sleep as well as you can. All that kind of stuff.
That's funny. Because I think that's going to be the toughest part. Look, I've trained hard and like that wouldn't be a problem, but just the food is probably the biggest thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah. It's tough. But the little tricks, there's little tricks to it.
You have to tell me actually about steroids as well. You're obviously taking steroids too. So yeah. I guess for people wouldn't know. So we were chatting before and I'm going to a 30th this evening and then me and Andrew are going to go for whatever food, pint or whatever, and a different friend is going to be meeting me, and then he's called Andy, this is Andy as well, and I was just talking shit saying it's only room for one Andy, but you're going to have to fight. And then I sent a screenshot of you and your cut and your bulk picture to the other Andrew, and I was like, good luck fighting this Andy, block of a man. And then he just writes back, steroids. So yeah, we'll just go for, like, as you were saying, that's a compliment, though.
Yeah, it's definitely a compliment. Yeah. And, like, you know, even 10 years ago when I was kind of doing a bit of a bodybuilding thing, people would go, oh, you know, steroids or whatever. And even I was doing the same thing with a friend and they were saying it to him as well, you know. And it's just a kind of attitude where, I guess, you can't, what do you say to that? You know, it's
doing steroids.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I'm not.
That's what steroids
like,
say, though.
I feel like the more you defend it,
yeah,
you know.
More, yeah,
so
yeah.
My whole thing is about health. And I honestly think steroids, like, you can do it if you want, and you can, yeah, as long as you're not make your own decisions.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's a healthy thing. And there'd be no point in me doing this whole thing if I was taking steroids, because the main thing around the book is to see how much muscle I can naturally put on, you know, and try all the natural tricks. Like, first thing you do in the morning sunlight, you know, all the nutrition side of it, choosing the right type of training, everything around recovery, and dedicating nearly all of my time outside of training so that I can train well and be as anabolic as possible. And the other thing is, I've been 94 kilos before, jacked. So it's a lot easier to get back to, you know, it's a lot easier to put on size. After, you know, lockdown, I was into more bodyweight stuff, and I kind of went kind of vegetarian for a while, and I wasn't having as much protein, and I definitely lost weight. And then after the marathon. So the other thing is, when you run a marathon.
Yeah, there you go. Bring in someone like, isn't that said before?
Yeah, and we'll talk about
that.
What
did you actually run? So was it a half or a full?
I ran a full. But
I thought it was a half.
Yeah, I ran a full.
Oh, fuck.
But I've run two or three halves in preparation for that.
Fair play.
So what I really noticed after the marathon, after about two months after the marathon, when I finally got my energy back, when I went into the gym, I could just train so hard and for so long. I had such a gas tank. I wasn't burning it, you know. Like, cardio does not kill your gains. Cardio is incredible for your gains.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. And anyone that wants to put on size, you know, you have to do some form of cardio. The thing is, people take cardio, they just do too much of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you got to prioritize lifting. And lifting heavy, because just from picking up on other podcasts and other YouTube, like, fitness guys that I follow, you can't put on massive amount of size without eating a lot of food and lifting heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
So it's not true of like the, you see these guys absolutely jacked doing a little circuit and it's like, this is how I got myself.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're just, maybe they're selling something, but yeah, you know, like yeah, most jacked people, like they're just
doing heavy fucking lifts. Yeah.
Yeah. Together. And like, you have to eat a lot. You have to be in a, I hate talking about calories, but you do have to be in a kind of surplus, you know, to grow. And basically everything I'm doing, like all the like researching as much food as I can, foods that are actually kind of helping you to be more anabolic, you know. So
what, list a few of them, because I wouldn't know.
Yeah, there's like certain what are they called, ancient grains. Yeah, so rye is one. I've written them all down my phone. Yeah, certain Ezekiel, is that a grain?
Well, no, I know, I've heard definitely rye anyway.
Yeah, there's ancient, those kind of grains, they have compounds in them that, you know, help the muscle basically become more anabolic. Things like garlic, you know, like I'm eating beetroot because as pre-workout, you know. So there's all these little things that I've been just researching every half an hour, and I just put them down my phone, you know. This, you know, ginger is good for blah 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 blah, or you know, garlic,
beetroot. It's funny because if you followed you, you'd be, yeah, like he's eating all these random foods. But I always say, like, follow the results. I mean,
yeah,
something's working. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of what you're doing with looking up at the different stuff and testing it. But I want to ask you now, because we're talking about the marathon. Like,
yeah.
One of the things I always love is, tell me, yeah, some of the feats, like how adaptable the human body is.
Yeah.
I love that because,
yeah,
as people probably know, follow me, like I was told, body can't do this, give up sport, blah, blah, blah. And now look,
yeah,
doing the splits, all,
yeah,
this other,
exactly,
shit. So, well, the marathon's obviously one of them. But yeah, tell me, what, sorry, Zercher, if you, like, tell me some things you've done that you were like, holy shit, maybe you didn't know it was possible years ago,
yeah,
to do.
Okay, so I guess, yeah, let's talk about the spine and the Jefferson curl and the Zercher. So, you know, I've been training since I was kind of 15 and on, and I started really getting into it. I mean, I was doing push-ups when I was 10 years old for, I don't know why, I just got into it. I was doing 50 push-ups when I was 10. So, I mean, that set me on a really good path. But I was with a coach. I wasn't a personal trainer at the time. I was just lifting loads and I was playing rugby. And I was probably quite inflexible. And the coach that I was working with in the school, he showed me the Jefferson curl, you know? And I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
what are you doing? That's bad for the spine.
Yeah.
He's like, no,
break it
no.
Back,
he's a, you know, he's a bit of a kind of, what I say, he kind of coached me a lot in kind of strength and condition as well. He's living out in Germany at the moment, but he showed me the Jefferson curl and I was just like blown away. I was like, I was never told the spine should do that.
Yeah.
You know, so give it a go, it's called Jefferson curl. I did it with 2.5 kilos. So that was in 2015. And I was like, oh, 2.5 kilos. Oof. And just over years and years, I just kept chipping away, inconsistently consistent. And then I was doing the barbell, and then I was doing the barbell a little bit more, and that was really heavy. So just like, it takes a long time, but you know, I was in no rush. You know, now spine feels amazing. But I've had other issues, like I got into kind of powerlifting kind of thing, and I was lifting lots of heavy weight maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I felt like I was getting really strong, and then sciatica came. So I had sciatica for like 18 months on and off.
Didn't I?
Yeah, 18 months on and off.
Sorry, what year was that? When was that?
That was maybe 2017, 2018.
Okay.
Right? So that kind of put a halt to my training. I mean, I was pretty flexible. I was doing pretty deep side splits, and I was like, I don't feel inflexible. I feel really strong. Why do I have sciatica? So it kind of went away because I kind of stopped training a little bit. I was like, I don't know what to do. And I was going to physios and getting massages, and it would go away for a day or two and then it would come back. So throughout the lockdown, it was there a little bit. It was there a little bit. And I got in touch with Robbie Atkinson. I don't know if...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll chat a few times online, actually.
Yeah.
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 No, I know
so
is, yeah.
So he does kind of stuff through... Well, he looks at people kind of strength training and rehabbing, let's say, through PRI.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the breathwork stuff. And I was looking for a solution to this issue. It was like SI joint pain and sciatica that I was having on and off. So I'd run 2 kilometers and the next day I'd wake up like you know, I couldn't move my hip.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck's going on? Mm. So we started working together. He showed me PRI, and honestly, that started helping, but it wasn't really going away. And I thought, okay, well, what's really going to push me to finally get over this for good? And I just thought, okay, well, sign up to a marathon in a year's time. Yeah, I can hardly run 2K. Running 2K was, I was like, oh, that was tough.
Mm.
Sign up to a marathon in a year's time and just get to it. And it would push me every day to work on my posture, which was causing SI joint pain and sciatica. So I'd work on that like every day of the week, and then I'd be running two or three times. And I just thought, you know what? I hate marathons. I hate the idea of marathons. That was my attitude at the time.
Yeah.
I just thought, why would you do it? You know, like a lot of people go, well, why would you do that? Why would you do a marathon? But I thought, I'm going to do it once, see what it's like. And if I can run it injury and pain free and be injury free after the marathon, that's the win.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't care how long it took. I just thought, run a marathon and just try and run a marathon without stopping. So yeah, worked away at the on the rehab, did the strength training for it. Realized with running, like, it's not actually about how much you go out and run. It's more like the strength training for running.
Yeah,
it's so huge.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of people. You know, I walk or drive down the street or on my runs, I pass runners.
Yeah,
and I go, fuck, you know, they're out every single day. I see them every single day, and they could really do with some strength training. And they'd be incredible then. It's unbelievable. You see it everywhere.
I know, it's such, like, people who want the best strength training gains think cardio kills the gains.
Yeah.
People who want the cardio gains
yeah.
think strength
yeah.
kills the gains.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just bullshit. Like,
yeah.
if they only knew the bigger picture
yeah.
of how it
yeah,
would
yeah,
help
yeah,
both,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
that's mad.
So, yeah.
And so, go on, so did you finish? Tell me that, did you do the marathon pain-free? Or what happened? Or did
yeah, so... I didn't 100% get over all my issues because obviously I probably peaked a month before the marathon, and I started getting a little issue in my right knee, outside my right knee. And, you know, I was doing my best to alleviate it and everything. And just with that volume of running and training, things don't really go away.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't just stop running.
Yeah.
So I'd do a few shorter runs, I'd be there a little bit. And I'm like, okay, it's okay today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it came to the marathon, like I ran a month before it, I ran a half marathon in Limerick, and I was like, I didn't feel it at all. That was my first half marathon. I ran in 1:50.
Was that the first half marathon ever?
That was my first official. I did Phoenix Park about 3 weeks before that, and I ran in 1:52 or something. So 2 minute PB, I didn't care. It was great. It was, yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was 6 weeks later, I had the Cork Marathon, and...
Okay.
You know, that was just mind over matter. It was like, okay, I had the energy gels in my little thing I was carrying with me, and I had 7 of them, I think. So I took one at the very start. I thought, okay, take one every 7 kilometers. So I get to 7 and I take one. I'd be like, oh, cool. Take one in 14, you know. So, and I get to 10 kilometers and go, okay, well, I've made 10. That's great. You know, so you just put it into little blocks. And
yeah.
Go, oh, I made it to 21.
Yeah.
Great. I've only half to go. But at 21, my knee started acting up. And I was like, not now. Like, I've half a thing to go. But you know, you do what you can.
Yeah.
So I had a little ibuprofen in my thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I just took it. And I was like, I'm going to take it. Because it's just a painkiller.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it through the race. I took and I slowed down. And at kilometer 25, the knee totally eased up, you know. So obviously I was loading through that right knee too much through all my training and stuff, and you know, from my perspective, that was maybe when looking through PRI, it's like I think I'm putting too much load through that right side, and I'm not reciprocating equally.
Yeah,
maybe because I had strong knees. I was like, I'm a pretty good squatter and everything. Both knees are strong. My left knee historically had more injuries to it.
Yeah,
so why is the right one acting up? So through all that kind of rehab, with, you know, again, it's Instagram, getting in touch with people, seeing their stuff and going and working with people, working with another coach, you learn through injuries, you learn how to deal with the body, and you just gain so much more knowledge, you know? And yeah, I ran the marathon in 4 hours and 23. And months before that, I was running well. I hadn't peaked yet. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to break four hours, you know. So there's the ego going, oh, yeah, you know. And people would be like, oh, wait, you broke 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm a good runner. But as it got close to the marathon, I was like, do you know what? Just finish this race. Yeah. It's the first marathon. Just finish. This might be your first and only one. I think I'll do one in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But it was incredible to finish. It was I passed the finish line and I started crying because it was actually years. It was from 2017 when I was teaching and I was just walking with a limp every single day with this pain shooting down my leg.
Mm.
I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Mm.
You know, so it was from 2017 really to finish that marathon feeling no sciatica. I mean, my muscles were starting to cramp. Yeah. I mean, I was like just getting through it to the finish line. But I just cried. I was just like, I did it, you know. I got to it. I worked on my injury. You know, there was times when I was like, do I need surgery? Mm. You know? I was getting so desperate.
Yeah.
I was getting so desperate. It was like, is there some way to operate me and make this pain go away?
Yeah.
But then I said, no.
That's I
know I can... I know I can fix this if I just get the right information and apply it. You know?
That's unreal.
Yeah.
And even like the fact you're such a bigger guy as well.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you've done the run is even more important. Like if I did a run, people are like, yeah, he's skinny. Well,
you see,
like, follow Nick Baer.
He's a beast. Yeah.
I went through a while of just like watching all his videos and doing, he went from all bodybuilding to running or whatever. But, I suppose you don't know about him, but again, it's up to steroids. It's all coming up there, but that's class, man.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, I love seeing that shit.
Yeah.
People just fucking showing how adaptable the body is. Like, we need more of that rather than
exactly.
The other
exactly.
Broken exactly. And fragile type of stuff.
Well, you see guys that are kind of overweight running marathons, and they're maybe 100 kilos plus, and they're doing it. You know, they've got the cardiovascular fitness, they've got the strength in the legs, obviously.
Mm.
So someone like me being muscular and running a half marathon, I've got two this year, or a marathon, like it shouldn't be really any different, you know. Strength will get you through a marathon. Strengthen your legs, your core, you know.
Like, it's a thing of, it shouldn't be a shock. Like, it's a shock now because most people are skinny and don't have strength. Yeah, and then there's a few out there like you, so we think, oh, this is weird, not normal, but people just don't know about it, really, I think is what it is, and people could be doing that. What then, because there's a question now further, but we're kind of here, like, I love understanding people's mindset with this kind of stuff. So I don't know how much of a bad place you went to, but remember you were saying, like, it's different when you're chatting to friends about the time and everything, going this time, that time. But then when you're fucking out there and it's mile, kilometer 22, whatever, it's a different story then when you're on your own and shit's going on. So, like, had you prepared any mental strategies beforehand, or did you just kind of wing it and talk me through that? Because I'm always interested to hear.
So, actually, the marathon was the icing on the cake of all that training.
Mm.
So, maybe halfway through the training, I was running in Dunleary from Killiney to the Poolbeg Lighthouse and back. And that was meant to be my longest run before the marathon, before I tapered down. And that was on a hot day, and we were running along Dunleary and then hit the lighthouse and started coming back. And I hit the wall. It was too hot. I wasn't drinking fluids. At kilometer 22, I hit the wall and everything just blew up. And I was basically hobbling along the footpath for 2 kilometers. Lisa, who was running with me, was basically trying to stop me from falling over.
Mm.
That was the hardest I ever got, because I didn't have any fluids with me. I didn't have these stations along the marathon. I didn't have my gels. It was a hot day and I just overheated and got dehydrated. So that was crazy tough. Felt sick, felt like I was about to faint.
Mm.
But when you get to the marathon, there's people there.
Yeah.
You've prepared, you know that this is it. And you just block it off into spaces. And it got really tough. It got really tough, maybe around kilometer 29, let's say.
Mm.
28 to 42. And you're running along this road, and it was raining for the whole marathon, which was actually, it was lightly raining, which is actually fine because it just cooled you down. And it stopped a bit. But I was running along and so one of my inspirations, I know this is something you want to ask me about, was an old friend of mine, Barry Keane, and he was a running coach. He was, yeah, it was his passion to run and be a running coach. And like he passed away in 2014. He was 75.
Oh shit!
He was an old, yeah. Was, I mean, look, he's an older guy, right?
Okay, that was some guy on Instagram.
No, no. Okay, no, so I mean, if you asked him about Instagram, he'd be like,
"That was shit." Yeah,
yeah. But he was a no nonsense kind of old school in a way. Had his life totally, you know, lived the simple life in a way, but loved running.
Yeah.
He loved coaching, you know, people who were good at running, just because he loved it. And you know, he's the kind of guy who was like, when he was 58. Let's say he was running the over 40s European 400s and coming third or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was incredible, but so fit. And then all of a sudden it was all taken away with dementia, you know? So great inspiration to me and my brother and a good family friend. And I was just running along in that race kind of thinking about Barry. Thinking about Barry. And he'd be like, go on, you know? So when it was really tough and you're in the last 10 kilometers and then suddenly a hill appears, you know, I was just using that. I was like, come on, Barry, come on.
Yeah.
And he's just in your mind and he's talking to you. So that kind of got me through it, you know? And then one or two of my friends were running in the race as well. And I was just kind of saying to myself, I'll just see the finish line, it's coming.
Mm.
It's the icing on the cake of all this thing. So, you know, thinking that it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be, you know, before you run it, you think like, this is the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
And I think it might've been the hardest thing I've ever done, but, and you think, oh God, 4 hours of just constant running.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, it's just the finish.
Yeah.
You know,
it seems like you're obviously well prepared.
Yeah.
For, so that it wasn't massively hard when you did it, but
yeah,
that's interesting. Cause when I can think of motivation stuff, like, it's kind of internal stuff and there's external stuff. Yeah. So from what you're kind of saying there, that to me is like, that's the external stuff when it's getting tough.
Yeah.
Because I think I have internal stuff I can use and I have external stuff I can use. So the internal stuff, that could be the whole law. I'm just set the mark and the body can't do this. I'll fucking, you know,
I'll show it.
More because of Derek's side, and then the lighter side would be like, oh yeah, I have other people as well that I could think of, or I want to inspire people stuff as well. So let's say if you kind of gave me an extra, do you have any internal?
Yeah, pain, I do. Like I do. As in,
just
I,
like a,
I like feeling that pain.
Mm.
I do actually. And I, you know, you see these guys doing feats of strength online or on TV, and you just, let's say you're watching TV, right, and you're watching these athletes. And you're sitting there and you watch them and you're like, they're fucking living their dream and I'm sitting on the couch.
Mm.
I'm like, I mean, that's why I like going after it and feeling that pain, because I just want to feel like I'm just putting in all this effort, you know, and seeing how far I can push it, you know. So even though that was really tough, the pain I felt, like I look back on that and going, oh, that was amazing. Mm. That was amazing just to be in that spot where you've got nothing left and you know there's an hour and a half of running left.
Mm.
And you're going there and things are burning, but you're, I really wanted to be there, you know? And it gets, the more you do it, the more consistent you get with it, and you embrace it. I think it's the same for everyone. You want to go there a bit more.
Yeah. Like, I think, well, obviously I can be a bit more extreme with some things, but like, I think a lot more people have to experience that.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, not that we're going to obviously force on anyone, but I think, you might have said earlier with something like people, I think you're on about reps in the gym, maybe like people think they're pushing hard. They don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? They maybe thought, oh, I did this really tough thing, and they'll tell you, it's like, man, that like, they don't know, but I know that's like your 40%.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it's just, I think it's just we see more people, because if I think of my older self, like, if you told Mark a fucking 10 years ago that I'd be doing stuff I am now, I'd be like, you know, I would, but now since I can see what's possible, like, I think I just see that in others as well, where I'm like, if they just did it this fucking hard thing, marathon, whatever, it doesn't have, whatever it is, if they just did this fucking hard thing, they would see, it just breaks the glass ceiling for them, and then they can push on more in career, with all these other things, like, that's kind of why I do a lot of that stuff, is just to show me that I can kind of do whatever the fuck I want in time, really. Yeah, that's the thing that I see. But like the marathon is great for that, I think. That's why I did run it for a while as well. I hate it. Like, enjoyed it. Like, I don't enjoy it. I enjoy the strength training, so it's much easier to do that kind of stuff. But what would you think on that? Like, would you have friends that would be pushing themselves as well, or is it more not so much?
With my friends, I tend not to get into it too much because, I mean, maybe from in my own head, I probably feel like I push more than most.
Yeah. But is that depend on me and you chatting stuff online? Like, because we're similar with that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to. I want to support. I want to kind of gently push them. If they're pushing it, I'm like, sweet, keep going. Because I think the only way you get to push it harder and harder is push as hard as you can and then get introspective and go and actually, you know, discuss it in your own head, looking back on it, going, well, could I push it harder? And did I enjoy that? Can I push it harder again?
Yeah.
You know, and can you kind of unleash a bit of a beast inside you where, you know, I've done things before where I've finished a 400 meter kind of sprints. I did four or five of them back to back, and in the last one, I honestly thought, am I actually gonna fucking keel over here? You know, but it was almost a euphoric feeling.
Yeah,
it was. I pushed it so hard that So I think with practice and then just getting a bit introspective, you can get better at it. But like, I don't know if some people can do more than others, and that some people just have a ceiling. You know, I think maybe some people do have a ceiling, and that's why some are able to go a little bit further. I don't know.
Like I said, there definitely isn't nature and nurture. Like, there's obviously genetic components.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I suppose the stoic stuff, we can.
Yeah.
That's what we have. Like, that's the cards we have. Yeah. We can just focus on the other stuff. That's interesting. So, another thing I always love asking this, is like in wisdom or insights.
Okay.
So, I just follow loads of people.
Yeah.
And I just try and take the wisdom and insights from them. Yeah. But same with Instagram, same with books and different things. Like, do you have any, whatever you want to call it, could be some big life lessons you got from experiences or wisdom, insights, whatever you want to call it. Like, you've, because I could probably pick out like 5 or 6 things when I think back over the last 10 years, and it can be across body, mindset, life, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And across.
Well, I guess probably from some experiences. When I was, this is just what I use looking back on, you know, where I am now with my PT business, and it's going really well. I kind of look back to, I think, 2017 as well, and I was teaching, teaching is a good job, you know, and I was in this class, I remember I was like teaching science or something like that, and it just kind of hit me straight away out of nowhere. I was like, I need to take a risk. I need to take a risk. This is bullshit for me. I can't do this, you know. And I just got really excited in the class, going, I'm 29, or I think I was 29. I can't remember. Yeah, it's 29 or 30. And I'm going, oh my god, I'm actually gonna quit this in the next year or two. I said that, I think, at the time, and I'm gonna change my career and do exactly what I want. I knew what I wanted at that time. And it took a few more months.
So were you thinking about this? Was this like, were you thinking about this over months and years and stuff, or was this?
I was thinking about this. I always loved it, and I was teaching for 3 years. And about after a year of teaching, just hanging around with the strength conditioning coach and my friend Graham Dean in school, I just was like, I just absolutely love this. I love this physical exercise. I love helping people with it. I was just so passionate and excited about it. And then as a teacher in the summer, one or two of the staff said, because I was training while I was teaching, and I was probably training so much, too much as a teacher. Like, I was going to class tired, like, shit, I shouldn't be training someone. I'm meant to be teaching people.
Roll out the TV today.
literally, like, not getting my priorities straight.
Yeah.
So in the summer, one or two of the staff were like, can you give me some PT sessions? So I was like, well, I'm not a PT, but I can do some stuff with you.
Mm.
And I did an hour with them, and I was like, oh my god, I love this so much.
Mm.
You know? So I guess looking back to that, I go, trust your intuition. No matter what you do, trust your gut feelings. And the more you trust your gut and respect it,
And I think you got to be healthy, you got to be looking after your nutrition, you got to have good people around you, but trust your gut, and I think it's always going to lead you in the right way, you know. So I, with everything I've done over the last few years, trusting my gut, I think is, it's never done me wrong, you know.
And then, so how did you make it happen then? Because, you know, there's obviously the burn the boats thing. Like, I don't agree with that of like, you know, go hard or go home.
Yeah.
Like, if you find your passion, you just need to quit your job completely and go for it. Yeah. Where I tried to do it in a more, or I did it in a more, easing it out over time. I tried to build up clients and then try and nearly meet the bills and stuff. And then I quit the other job. What did you do? Did you actually just go like, fuck it, burn the boats and I quit?
Well.
Or did you get some clients or what way?
Well, so I guess from, I'm starting in, I don't know if starting at 30 or 31 is late for PT. Maybe it is an average. But I guess I knew quite a lot of people already, you know, just from teaching and stuff. And for some reason, in between teaching and PT, I started coaching tennis in a, kind of this small tennis club. Because I'd been playing so much in the summers, as a form of therapy, that this tennis coach saw me playing one day and I started playing in this club, and then there was a little spot for me to do some coaching. So that was my in-between PT.
So sorry, you quit the teaching?
I quit the teaching in 2018.
Okay.
And then I was...
So this was in between, okay.
Yeah, and I was considering, oh, am I going to go off to like England or China to teach? Mm. It took me about 2 weeks until I finally said no. I woke up one morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to be PT. Book your PT qualification course, whatever.
And are you training people like unofficially on this time? No.
One or two, yeah. Okay. One or two, but I knew them. Like, and I was doing it for peanuts.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I was at home and I was training in my garage, and I was using Instagram initially as just a to document all my own training, and it was private. And it was only for me. I was like, how can I just save all my historical videos of me training for my own use?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, Instagram's a good way. And then finally, you know, I made it public because I became a PT, and it's like good to see that stuff.
Yeah.
I was training home and a friend of a friend said, oh, there's a space open to take some classes in this little gym in Klonsky. So to do someone's classes.
Yeah.
And I was like, great, cool. I'll be taking strength or fitness classes and I'll be getting paid for it. That's amazing. From zero to that is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in there, and then I was working kind of with the guy, and he was like, yeah, you can book PT sessions. I was like, okay, well, I have no clients, you know. And then my friend's mum asked me, could I train her? And it was his friend's mum, and I was like, yeah, for absolute peanuts. It's literally covering my petrol and the rent. And I was like, that's cool, because I'm doing it with my friend's mum, train her, she's actually getting stronger. And that was the start, because then she... told her friend about me. There you go.
Isn't that money? Isn't that money feels so much better and different than the money you got through.
It's incredible.
You know, I just remember the first I helped a friend's auntie with an ankle issue to get back walking. Yeah. Like, it was all for free, but then she like forced 50 euros in my hand and asked.
Yeah.
Someone like gave me this for something I was doing for free. Like fucked its class.
Yeah. I remember the first I think my first real client, she gave me 60. And I felt cheeky almost.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, I just got this for training this person. That's fucking amazing. That's absolutely amazing. But when I was a teacher and I was doing PT in the summer with one or two of the staff, I was like, I don't know, give me 20 quid. Yeah. Whatever. And they gave me 20 and I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, are you sure? And I was like, whatever. So when you do something you love, like the money is kind of secondary. That's obviously important, but
yeah,
you know, I also know PT can be expensive. I don't actually, it's hard with PT because you can block a lot of people from.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one.
Like, I remember when I was coming into that. So when I had that job in Facebook, I was getting decent money. It's good money there, and I remember thinking I want to go over and do the mobility training. But I didn't want to be run of the mill.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I kind of thought it was, like, you can go try and be like more premium service, or you can kind of go and be trying like Little Aldi, Tesco, where they all compete on price.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I
I'm not leaving this for that.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm going to do this, I want to actually just take people on are really fucking interested in it
yeah.
and help them the most. I don't want to ever be, like, you know, 20, 30 euro here and then someone goes to 27 euro and then everyone's gone and, and people aren't even committed. You know, so like it's coming around to, once I start learning more about that, like it's the commitment, the actual transfer of energy. It's same as anything. Like actually, I remember, this is going on now years, like I had clients and they're paying me decent money and stuff and then through a friend or whatever it was at the time, they knew somebody was injured but they had no money.
Mm.
And then they were like, oh, can you help them? And I was like, I'll help anyone. Do you know, like anyone that actually wants the help, I'll help them. But then I was like, but it's like, if they don't give me something, they're not going to take it seriously.
Yeah.
There's no commitment.
Yeah.
And no matter if I give them the best program ever, it's not going to fucking make a difference.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we talk back and forth. It was actually an ex-girlfriend, so, you know, she's like, can you do me this favor? And I'm like, oh, no, I will. Like, I'll do it. But it's not, I know it's not really going to work. But I just kind of had all the theory behind it. And then what thing happens? I gave him 3 months for free.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not appreciated.
Didn't come back for the second session. Yeah. It's just one session.
Unbelievable.
Do you know? And then even I text him once. Do you know? And then I think I might even text him twice, you know, because through the accident. Yeah, I was like, well, there's the point proven, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I even said that to him. I was like, but that really cemented it for me. Like, and then I think of myself and all the coaches and mentors I've got. Like, I paid a lot of people a lot of money.
Mm.
But then once you do it, the rocket's up your ass. You're like, I need to make use of this now and actually learn it. Whereas, when stuff is like very, very cheap for free, it's, and I think there's like, there is another side as well of, I'll ask you on this then, you can kind of be the altruist or the kind of narcissist. So that's the spectrum of like, we all know like the less of the narcissist, like I'm the fucking best coach in the world, give me all this money and doing the abs and like, maybe even not taking it too seriously, but they think they're God's gift
to
the fucking world. And then the other side, like the altruist of like, I just want to help everyone improve strength, ability, whatever else.
Yeah.
I don't need anything cool.
Yeah.
And you know, like none of them are good. I think you were as well. Like I was over here, you know, I just want to help everyone and everyone get more mobility and stuff. And then like, we can't make a living off that. And like, it's like, then you get, it's like a bit more resentful and stuff, you know, like, oh, I'm trying to help people here and I'm making no money off and everything else. So it doesn't work. So obviously I had to work hard to come up. I'm somewhere in the middle now. Like I'm I charge what I think I'm worth. And then like it always comes back to like, do I think the price is worth the value that I'm giving to them? And if I can wholeheartedly look in the mirror and say yes.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it takes a while to kind of get there. But like, what's your opinion on that? Like, and what, obviously you'd go through it as well, because I was the same, taking 20s and 50s off people.
Yeah, of course.
How did you kind of navigate that?
I definitely think that I know I've experienced it before. Someone, you know, you're doing them a half price thing and they're just not finding you can see that.
Yeah.
You can see that. And this part of you, I think it's a human thing too, when, you know, they're paying you peanuts, you're, you know, relative peanuts to what you used to be paid. You're kind of like, okay, you know. And there's a little bit of that, but you want to help. You're only human, you know. And like, let's say sixth class of the day, and if they're paying you peanuts, you're just kind of like, oh, come on. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You got to value me, and I'll value you.
Reciprocal,
It's reciprocal. But I think, at the start, I wanted to help everyone. But I think, you got to kind of go, well, this is what I'm good at providing. And it took me a while to figure that out. And I've kind of gone down different kind of corridors a little bit, you know, and I kind of, there's people that out there that are PRI practitioners, you know, they're incredible and they're really focused on PRI or FRC or mobility or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I really like the PRI stuff, but I'm not going to be,
the PRI guy or whatever.
The PRI guy. Yeah. But I like to add some of that into my strength training.
Yeah.
You know, so strength training with the PRI stuff, because I think they both go really well together.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get to now is just helping. I don't want to narrow it down too much, but one thing that's motivated me a lot is seeing guys my age, 30 or over, and they don't have to be guys, they can be younger as well, okay? So and they seem kind of quite lost, and there's no drive or purpose, and they're like, you know, they've been working for 10 or 15 years now, they're just jaded.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, you know, I do my job, come on, watch Netflix, you know, and they go for the pints.
Yeah. And like, it's just gotten really like samey. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know, get strong, come to the gym. It's real simple. Just lift some simple weights. Just keep coming.
Yeah.
Get consistent. Enjoy it. You don't have to compete.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to become a power lifter or a CrossFit or anything.
Yeah.
You do it for the act of doing it and for the struggle. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and...
I don't think people understand, like, the... Because obviously, people don't, you know, watch TV, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. People, like, I'm all for people doing whatever they think is true to them, what they want to do. But some people, I don't think they understand how much better they could feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I think back to back when, I, you know, you're off drinking and all that kind of stuff, compared to, like, how I am now with my trainer, like, you feel so much better.
Yeah.
Your life is actually better in general. So
it's so much better.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't really know that if they haven't kind of done it before.
Yeah. I think, there's a lot in that. And training for me, again, the marathon, like, you kind of want to earn that comfort and it feels so much sweeter, you know? So, like, you watch a game on TV and if you've trained beforehand, you just, it feels good. It feels really good. Like, you've earned your kind of bread or whatever.
I think, like, that's an evolutionary thing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, of, like, we're built for the struggle.
Yeah.
You work hard all day and you come home and enjoy it. I'm just saying, like, some Sundays do a hard 1 hour chill obsession. Come in, eat the Sunday dinner, watch a movie, relax on the couch, and it's bliss.
Yeah,
sure. You earned that, as you said, like, you...
For sure, for sure.
I forgot to hit the timer at the very start, so that's my fault.
Okay.
So no, I think I did halfway through, I think there's probably 5 or 10 minutes left.
Okay.
I might actually just flick to some of the quickfire ones, actually, we'll see how
these
work out, actually. I think I pulled these from different podcasts that I listened to. What have you learned in the last 2 years that excites you the most? It can be body, mindset, life, whatever.
Okay, so I'm going to go off
physical
training right now. And it's something I did earlier this year. And it's incredible. And I would suggest that... It's definitely more in the front of people's minds these days, especially younger people.
Mm.
But I went to therapy in March, right? Can't remember. For the first time. And, you know, like, everyone has issues...
Yeah.
Big or small, I didn't really have any big issues. I just had shit in my head. And, like, you know, I was training, thinking that was helping. And it obviously helped a little bit. And I was talking to myself and I was writing shit down. But I needed to sit down and just speak out about everything to a total randomer that I didn't know, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't even know if she was a really good therapist. I think she was. She did, actually, to be honest, you know, it worked perfectly. So... You know.
But even the act of, it's like cathartic, the act of actually as you're saying, the person doesn't actually matter so much. It's like
it doesn't
just tell them.
Yeah, but she was actually she was lovely and I felt safe and I could just say everything.
Mm.
I got a lot of stuff off my chest, a lot from years ago, and I did 10 or 11 sessions with her, like once every 2 weeks. And I just felt so authentic and I felt really confident in myself again.
Mm.
And I just felt so strongly about what I want to do and who I am.
Mm.
Well, a lot more. Still, I think we're always figuring that out.
Mm.
And it was so valuable to me. And, you know, I would say to myself, or if I'd say to people that come to me for training, I go, you know, you come to me for personal training or you go to a coach to get stronger. And that's your physical body. Why do more people not go to therapy? I mean,
I've said that to so many people
as
well. Like, of the physical training, mental, like, you know, there's nothing there
mental,
for
so I mean, there are a lot of more people are going to therapy and they're a lot more open about it, and that's amazing, because just because you go to therapy doesn't mean you're totally messed up, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like old news, but or an old kind of,
because even the thing there that I think is important as well, like, I'm trying to preach mobility. Don't wait until you're fucked to start training mobility. Prevention's better than the cure. But all therapy, I'll wait until my life's fucked up.
You've got to
be proactive. I've gone as well. Like, last year, I think, last year, the year before. You know, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Do you know as well? And similar enough, like, I've no massive childhood trauma. I'm lucky with that. But as in, I actually just want to, like, I had certain stuff I wanted to ask, obviously. But to learn and improve and be more proactive. Because I've seen with the mobility, waiting until I was fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, why wait? So I think, like, it's that's why, like, at least I can only talk my own experience and personally. I think, like, the way things are phrased will change how we look at it as well. Like, if it was more like mental training, like, I have a mentor now who actually helps me with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's not a therapist or anything. He's just a guy with great life experience, really fucking wise. Changed my life, to be honest. Helped me really with relationship stuff. But I think, yeah, it was more kind of mental training. We latch onto it more like physical training, whereas therapy, at least in my head, it is like, oh, unless you're fucked, just like, you're like, unless you're fucked up, you don't go to that. Do you know, it's not like a practice. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, so I get what you're saying. I'm like, it should be something we like naturally do.
And to be honest, like, any kind of physical feats, anyone that makes progress in any kind of physical endeavor, that's mental.
Yeah,
it's all mental. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get a weak-willed person doing these amazing, like, becoming extremely strong.
Yeah.
Because that's all it takes. I mean, you know, 90% of the time that I start training, I'm like, oh, Jesus, really? Fuck. The body's like, no, just chill out. Just sit on the couch. And then I'm like, I've been here, I don't know how many times before. Thousands. I've literally been here thousands of times where I go, okay, just start moving. And then literally 5 minutes later, I'm like, yes, I'm ready.
Like, it's so funny. Do people think that we always enjoy training?
Yeah.
Do you know, like, the same that those one-arm chin-ups, there's different things, the shed's fucking freezing. Yeah. Like, I don't want to go out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, look, build distant different things. But, yeah, once you're out there, once you've got over the warm, into the first few sets, you're like,
yeah.
Do you know? But it's just people think that it's going to be. The funny thing as well is people think that goes away.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. Do you know, as in,
I'd
still, whatever. I don't want to start the session because I know it's 2 hours and this and that. But we know now that barrier is always going to be there, and we know how to kind of step over it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what I used to think. Even that's why I followed David Goggins and a few other people for a while, and it was so refreshing to hear them say that. Someone like Goggins saying those things never go away. And even, do you follow Ross Edgley?
I follow a little bit. Yeah.
Not so much anymore, but I remember he swam around Great Britain, first person to
ever
do. He was on YouTube, the
Red Bull thing.
So what was it, 158 days he swam, like 6 hours on, 6 hours off, or some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Jellyfish fucking eating them, but he put up I don't know him personally, but he put up something about the rogue bike studies where they test people on the rogue bike. Sorry. There was a group who already trained on the rogue bike consistently, and then there was a fresh group. And they were kind of seeing like what was the difference between them. Because obviously the trained group could go longer on the rogue bike. And the thing that fascinated me then was the wall didn't change.
Right.
They both hit the wall at the same points they always did.
Yeah.
But just the train group had the mental fortitude to go past the wall. Exactly. Do you know? So it's like the wall's always there. Mm-hmm. The wall doesn't fucking go away. Yeah. Like, do you know, it's just as you said, the train is mainly fucking mental.
Exactly.
Which is a bit, it's a bit kind
and
of the opposite of what people think.
And it's like a one kind of feeds the other, and the mental training, the consistency, and then you get confidence from that. And then in yourself, you become more confident because you're pursuing this thing. It maybe your passion, or you know, or it could be a short term passion. You know, it's definitely long term for me anyway. But one thing I've used myself over the years actually is just, you know, I've spent a good bit of time, even in my 20s, enjoying being on my own and like, you know, I've read a few of the self books and everything, and I'd write a lot of stuff down, my thoughts and stuff, and I'd even talk to myself. And one thing that's helped me a lot is just sometimes, you know, use a mirror and just look at yourself and you know, give yourself like, you're doing well, you're doing well, and just remind yourself, because it's, you know, I do that every couple of days, and it kind of sounds weird, or maybe people would get uncomfortable about it, and some people can't do it. And I know people that I've said to them, just, you know, you are killing it. Look in the mirror and tell yourself that.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's a confidence thing, or they're just not there and they can't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so funny, because that's what I do sometimes. I think I put up my stories probably once every 6 months, but like on those one-arm chin-up sessions, in between or near the end, so I'll just be walking around here. I'll look in this fucking mirror.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And I'll see myself, I'll look at myself, and I see this Meagles freedom here.
Yeah.
And then there'll be the odd, or I'll just look and I'll be like, you're the fucking man. Like, you're fucking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
4 years ago, you couldn't do fucking 3 chin-ups. Yeah. You're nearly on, you know, and that's, I think, because I still remember as a kid looking in the mirror, getting embarrassed. Like, do you know, as I was just saying there, like, you know when you look in the mirror, like, if the confidence is there or not. And I think I've never been one for aesthetics, you know, like, as I said, I don't, that's not my thing, but. That's what it shows me.
Yeah.
when I look in there, and I suppose it's great lighting coming down on top of me, but then I see
this is
how I think. I'm like, the all the gains are up here, but no one sees them. All they see is the manifestation of the mental gains, which is the body. Do you know, that's kind of what I think is, like, people just see that, but to get that, you know, kind of starts up there.
Well, the aesthetics, you know, for, I mean, in my 20s, you know, I was kind of pretty low body fat, lots of muscle and everything. I mean, it wasn't that functional, and I was, definitely wasn't as strong as I am now. And for a few years I went, you know, aesthetics don't matter, you know, I want to be, you know, I just kind of had this stupid thing in my head where, like, oh no, I'm better than that.
I only got over that maybe a year ago, because I'm like, if I put up the six pack, that's, why don't I show the mobility and stuff?
But yeah,
it was just, as you see, it's probably, it's more in, internal stuff there, because I'm so inspired. You know, follow Devin Kelly, no?
Yeah, I do. I only recently.
Recently.
Enough.
So I love his fucking page. And I'm just wondering, I'm trying to program, and I'm so inspired, even just by his posts.
Yeah.
The physical presence
in
the picture. And then I'm just like, that inspires the fuck out of me. So why don't I do that? And then it's obviously like, because I'm too judging and thinking. And now I'm starting to do a bit more of it, but you're so true.
The post I put up with the cut in the book.
Steroids one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The one where I'm pumped full of, I'm kind of Liver King's project. That took me a long time to post up, and I was like, there were so many things in my mind going like, oh, don't die, you're just totally egotistical. And but then practically I was like, this is me showing just progress. It's just a body. It's just a body, and just get over it, because you know, this, like, it's just showing all the progress. You know, that's all it is. So it took me a while to go, post it up, you know, get over that hurdle. You know, who cares?
I think, because it's, I just would be so, like, because it's all, like, internal judgment. I, like, the last thing I'd want someone to think of my page is, like, those, buy my fucking app master, here's my discount code. Like, I'm like, oh no, that's like, I don't, that's not what I'm doing, is I really care, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's, but it's true, as I said, what inspires you, I think, is a, that's a good metric for me of what I want to do, because I think, usually when people inspire us, like, they show us things that are in ourselves that we want more of. And then I see that a lot through Devin, where he's just a fucking straight talker. Because I'm too polite. And well, it, I suppose it depends on what stuff in my Instagram stories are. It's easier to be straight when I'm behind the phone, but it's like, I want to be straighter, and I wanted to show a bit more of the body as well, because that's results. I say follow the results. And it's hard not to give some sort of respect to someone. But you see Andy walking in the room, you're like, and he's got something going on to look like that, like, in terms of mental strength, different things, you know, like, it's, it is, it's respect, for me at least.
It's funny, anyway, because body dysmorphia, I'm like, am I? Am I big? Have I gotten big? Do you know, because you get used to it, and you're like, I don't, there's probably a bit of that going on, which is funny. Like, it's maybe a result of all that training. But, yeah, I guess I have, you get used to it, and I guess I have put on size, and it's great. It's great. I feel fantastic. And a few clients I'm training now that have gone on to me because they just want to put on some muscle and strength. It's feeling fantastic, you know?
There you go. And if you can do it in that way. Yeah,
exactly. So,
I think I'm going to ask you probably one or two. This might have cut off by now, but anyways, we'll go like one or two more quick fire. Do you know what? Weakness to try to hide in your life. You've already talked about therapy there, which is great.
A weakness is, I've been too nice. You're just talking about, I've been too nice.
Go into that. I think that's a very common thing, and I think why some people do like the stuff, let's say some of the YouTube videos I put off, is, look, when I get into that mode of a look in the camera, I think I'm talking to old Mark, and I kind of change, to be honest. But, yeah, tell me about that, because I am very...
Too nice, like, too accepting of certain things, and you know, kind of not speaking up if something is bothering, you know, just trying to, you know... that probably stems some stuff from my childhood and stuff, but yeah, I think through the therapy, actually working on that, and things are working out for me a lot more, just more authentic.
And what has changed then?
Well, it's just been a lot of work to know that I might rub someone up the wrong way, but who cares? Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to, I have to look after myself first.
Yeah,
you have to look after yourself, and then you can kind of help others, you know.
I think that was a good, you know, a few lines that stick with me is like, yeah, other people don't have to like you, or it's not up to you to make them happy or make them feel at ease. Yeah. That's how I would feel a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I still kind of feel it now, where it's like, I would rather, well, now I'm changing, but back then I'd rather not say what I think so that people feel okay and I don't want to disturb anyone. But then again, you're not being your true self, are you? And like, there's enough of those people in the world. People, why do people maybe follow our page and other things? They want to see people being their true self and getting after them more that way. And I don't know if you follow this guy called Gabor Mate.
I know of him, yeah.
Do you know,
he's
a child psychologist, more the way he goes, but the line that he said, and it's so true, he's like, we live in a genocide of authenticity.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know, and I was like, that's it there, isn't it? Like, obviously certain generations struggle with different things. Like, our generation, a big one is the authenticity, because you see all the fucking influencers and different things and how we should act.
Exactly.
Very little people doing what they're... That's why, like, I like you and drawn to you and other people is... I don't give a fuck what people are doing, but just when someone's doing what they want to do, and it's clear to see in them,
exactly.
And then I'm drawn towards those people. But what do you think on that? That like,
I think you can see people, get ideas from them, but you have to try and be your authentic self and not be, oh, I want to be the next, whatever, whoever, you know, I want to be the next David Goggins.
Yeah,
you know, you don't need to, just go on your own path and figure out yourself, and you do that by, you know, being introspective and talking to yourself and kind of spending time figuring out what works for you, you know, what you like, and actually disregarding your closest friends' opinions.
Yeah.
And sometimes even their advice.
Yeah.
You know, because you really have to listen to yourself, and you might hear their advice and you go, okay, well, I like that, I'll pick that, you know, but, and then there's a balance of all that, and then being humble, you know, being humble and being competitive as well. I struggle with that. I think being competitive, I think you need to sometimes get away from that kind of thing, because you can be inspired by someone, but you don't have to think that, oh, I have to beat this person.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because
you
can't control that, you know, someone might be better than you at something. That's brilliant. Is get inspired by that.
Yeah.
You know, take all the info you need and just work on yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
That is the big one, isn't it? That's the line of like we've all gone through of like, the inspiration and the competition, but I just think like we're all on our own path.
Exactly.
So we're all running different races. So my time compared to your time.
Yeah.
Do you know, you think, oh, we see an athlete on TV, well, they're living with a they might retire with broken bodies and be like, you know, I wish I had my physical freedom. Yeah. You know, like, we're all looking at each other, and that's what I kind of think is the ironic thing is, like, everyone, no matter who they are, can do that and look at someone else and be like, you know, so I think makes sense.
Okay.
I'll ask you one more. Time has actually gone this stage. Let me see. Let's ask you that one. We'll do this one, actually, interesting enough. Ask a question for the next guest.
Oh, Jesus.
This is actually funny, because you can ask whoever the hell you want, and whoever comes on next, I'm going to ask them.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually ask a genuine question, or you can ask,
okay.
You can ask, well, really, you can ask really awkward one if you want to, because I'm going to ask it.
I don't know if this is...
I saw this on a podcast.
It's kind of a boring one, but if you have 12 hours left to live, what are you doing?
Okay, if you have 12 hours left to live.
Yeah. What are you doing? What are
you
doing?
Do you know what I just thought right now as well? What I'm going to do
a gym session.
Well,
12 hour gym session, and then call the folks.
Ma'am, if you don't hear from me in 14 hours, call an ambulance. No, do you know what I'm going to do now? Actually, I'm going to just talk right now. The question that the guest gives me, I'm going to ask them that question.
Okay.
Because some people are going to come up and ask really sly questions. Do you get what I'm saying? Like a really awkward one?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to flip it back on you. So yeah, you're going to answer that question now, actually. Yeah.
I'm going to answer that question.
Yeah.
Aye.
I think that's probably what I'll do now, because
okay, well,
because it's a question you may not want to ask,
I guess it's pretty odd. I guess if I could see a couple of friends quickly and then spend the last few hours with my family, and I'd probably be just on the beach.
No gains.
No
training.
All the training has led up to these 12 hours. And then, you know, because... Well, the games were the day before, so, you know, recovery. And I'm just on the beach there, little picnic with the fam. Maybe one or two close friends around, I don't know. Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's pretty... Sounds good. Yeah. There you go, off the cuff.
Off the cuff, yeah. Cool.
Sunset. It's on the west coast.
West coast. Where's Scott? Go to Roscommon. Spend the last few hours there. Oh, that's cool. Okay. I think we'll end it there.
So there we go. Chat with Andy Mitchell. I actually watched it back like 2 or 3 days ago. And I know now going forward, when I watch it back, I'm going to take down the notes of the things that I learned, because I'm trying to just recall them now 3 days later. Yeah, that wasn't a great way to do it. But I still do remember like a few things I took from it. Was about the motivation, you know, when he was doing the marathon. So I didn't even actually know he ran the full marathon. I thought it was just a half marathon. So as you've seen, Andy's a big guy. And that's what I love to see, is just people showing the world how adaptable the human body is. Like, he's nearly 100 kg, you know, benching 150 and these kind of numbers. And he's ran a marathon as well. Do you know what I mean? It just really shows what's possible. So I did enjoy that part around, yeah, the cardio and the strength and how it should be combined together. And even, yeah, the motivation, how he was pulling from someone that he knew, you know, like the external motivation versus the internal. I'm always interested to hear people's strategies around that. And I didn't actually know as well about the sciatica story as well, and how obviously the running that marathon was kind of his hero's journey in terms of the chronic pain. So, yeah, got a few things from it. It was a bit of crack as well. I learned a few of the poses from Andy Mitchell. I put that up on Instagram, yesterday? And I was just tagging him in it. And the funny thing was, because he was in this pose here for like probably a total of like 30 seconds, but I just kind of made it out to look like he was like that for half the podcast, but he wasn't. But that was it. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Hopefully you did too. Hopefully you got something from it. And yeah, excited to keep it going now going forward. Hopefully once a month. But, you know, I'm going travelling now from next week to Bali and, you know, maybe Asia for 6 months. So, look, we'll see. We'll see how we get on. But I definitely will prioritise the podcast more this year. So, yeah, any guest that you want, you can write to me on YouTube here, or even write to me on Instagram as well if you do have any guests in mind that you want me to interview. But, yeah, that's the first one done. Anyway, hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully the next one will be dropping soon.
Yeah, jeez.
Does that fly? Do you know, like, that's what happens where, obviously, Mr. Roch saying, I'm chatting back and stuff, but, like, it just, time just fucking flies. And then yeah. I was like, I better check the time.
I could talk for 3 hours, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's what I really want to do, this, because I just want to talk to people I'm interested in, but,
I hope you got some value, fucking hell. I don't know. I felt like
I had fun. You know, I said, that's the main goal. Yeah. Like, I had fun, and I learned a few things there, and that's it. And whatever people get from it, they will, but it's fun, isn't it? Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, thank you. Thanks, it was fun, Jesus.
Yeah.
And you fucking said whatever you wanted, which is the whole goal. But it's fun, though, isn't it? Like, I know there's a tiny bit of pressure beforehand because you're a bit like, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, man. I was just like, fuck, this is a little interrogation.
Mm.
And then I was just like, just speak. You know, it totally went off script, in my opinion. I was like, that's great, because that's flow. That's just flow.
Like, that's all there, obviously.
You know, I thought, the first question is childhood. Yeah. I thought I was going to be, okay, I've got it memorized. Blah, 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 school, blah, 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 blah. And then it just, we started, so, like,
because I can't remember, yeah, we just started to train and start different things. And I was like, yeah. I remember just flicking, I was like, it's not going to go back to childhood now. Really, look, it's fine, I'll just go from here. But I think that's the best way to go, because it is, man. Otherwise, it would have been so scripted, you know. So I think I just want to have them there because, you know, let's say worst case, it's not really flown, and then I can ask stuff, do you know, but it's fine, like, it was great. It was fun. Anyway, just let's see if this is all fine.